Turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. As we pick it up here in verse 35, the first part of Mark chapter 1, Jesus has been healing and casting out demons and doing all sorts of ministry, and he found himself fatigued, and the crowds were beginning to kind of gather with him. And we pick it up in verse 35, Mark chapter 1. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Now, I want you to notice that the people where they were, they're clamoring, they're seeing that Jesus is doing some pretty miraculous things, and they're clamoring to him, and the disciples are even exhorting him to come and see about these people, that everybody's looking for you. And look at Jesus' reply in verse 38. Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else." Do you think that perhaps at this point, I'm always reminded that Jesus, while he was God made flesh, Jesus was a man. And he was limited by time and space. He got tired, and he knew that his time on this earth was limited. So even though there were still people there that were wanting something that he had to offer, he says, "Everyone, let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So we traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Now, a little side note, a little side sermon here. Not to go too deep into this, but if you don't believe in spiritual things, if you don't believe that there really are angels and there really is demons and there really are things that come against us, that we have an enemy that comes against us, if we don't believe that, what are we talking about here in the Bible? I mean, if we believe that God's word is really God's word and is really spoken, Jesus, he's doing something. He's casting out demons. What is he doing? So we just a little side note there, if that kind of freaks you out or whatever, we need to understand that we have a God that loves us, and we have Jesus that wants to bring us abundant life, but we also have an enemy that wants to destroy us. And we need to understand that. Okay. So he began preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Looking again at Jesus' response. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you do not tell this to anyone." We're going to kind of address why that is. It always kind of confused me for a lot of years. "But go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. I believe when you've had this kind of disease and Jesus has healed you, it would be really hard to keep your mouth shut, wouldn't it? As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places, yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank our guest from Tuscola United Methodist for bringing our special music this morning. That was awesome. Thank you. And many of you may not even know, Mark and Grace have spent close to a year out with the group at Tuscola and just trying to helping them some with their music. And we have missed them. And I think they're going to be back in a couple of months or so. But were y'all there when James Martin was the pastor? I'm going to tell a James Martin story this morning. How many of you know James Martin? Several of you. James Martin, a good guy. I think James is maybe in Lubbock now. Is he in Lubbock now? Where? Ruidoso? That guy gets around. But James is he's a pastor, and he's a counselor, good guy, and I've known James for a long time. He tells this story. I'm going to steal his story, but I'm giving him credit. He tells this story about when he was a little boy, and he was raised out on a farm and a ranch, and he and his brothers would go out, and their friends and all the neighbors would play baseball out in the pasture. And he talked about how he tells this story. It's about 30 minutes. I'm going to condense it a little bit. It'll only be 28 with me, but. Anyway, they played baseball out in this pasture, and they would, for lack of anything better, they would use what the cow had dropped out in the field as bases. And, you know, when a cow does this thing and it hits the ground, it kind of flattens out. That's why they call it cow patty, by the way. And as the sun beats down and dries, this is gross, isn't it? You ever talked about this in church? But as the sun beats down on the cow patty, it kind of gets this consistency. It's kind of hard. And he said they would use the cow patties for bases. And so he tells it in dramatic fashion, where he was the little brother and he was younger than all the other kids, and it was his turn to bat, and the game was on the line, and everybody thought that James was going to blow it. But he closed his eyes and he swung as hard as he could, and he talked about hitting it over the left fielder's head. And he started running, and he rounds first base, and he rounds second base, and he thinks, I can make it to third. And so he's heading into third base, and he slides into what he thought was third base. But it wasn't third base, he says. It was a future base. And then he goes on to say he had base all over him. I love that story, and James tells it a lot better than I do, I can tell you. But he said he had base all over him, and he hurt himself when he did this, and his dad was watching the game, and he talked about it, and James always gets emotional. I'm actually getting emotional thinking about it and about the love of a dad. But his dad ran out there, and he thought he had broken his leg, James says, I had base all over me, and he said, and it smelled bad, and he said, I can remember Dad putting his hand on my leg and running his hand up and down my leg to make sure, and getting base all over him in the process, and to see if he had broken anything. And the love of his dad, that touch of his dad. Didn't matter if he smelled like base. It didn't matter if he had base all over him. The touch of a dad that was worried about his son. This morning, we're continuing the sermon series, Jesus the Miracle Man. Jesus the Miracle Man. And this morning, more than a touch, more than a touch. We pick up this story that in Mark, this man with leprosy. I want you to get the feel for what it meant to have leprosy in biblical times. We have nowadays, with modern medicine and so forth, we don't. In some remote parts of the world, I think they still struggle with that disease. But leprosy was an awful thing in biblical times, and it was highly contagious. It was incurable. Once you had it, you had it. It was disfiguring. It was actually, people think it's a condition of the skin, but it's actually an internal condition and has to do something with the cells inside your body and how things are not working properly, and then it begins to manifest itself through your skin. And you begin to lose feeling in your extremities, and you have awful pain and disfigurement, your face and your ears and just all over your body can really become disfigured, and it can just really be a mess. Back then, through the law of the church, you were seen as unclean. In fact, we're going to read a scripture here in just a minute that teaches that you were actually told that you were to stay away from other people. You couldn't touch anyone. They couldn't touch you. They couldn't come within so many feet. And they actually defined downwind and upwind, how many feet you could be from a leper. And that when you would have to wear your clothing in rags so people could recognize from your clothing that you were a leper. And when you would walk and someone would be walking towards you, you would have to say, unclean, unclean. Can you imagine the shame of this condition on people, that literally they would have to pronounce themselves as unclean as people passed. The church and society saw this as a condition as the result of sin in that person's life. They would start with the condition would start with great pain, and it would actually get to the point where the great pain got to where they could feel no pain, which was even worse than feeling the pain. Because when you could feel no pain, if you had your hand in a fire, you didn't know it. If you cut yourself, you wouldn't know it until you'd see the blood. So you were basically alienated from family and society. So I want to read to you out of Leviticus. This is the actual law that this leper that day that he came to Jesus. This is the law that he was under in Leviticus 13. The priest is to examine him. Speaking of the person that they suspect of having leprosy, the priest is to examine him, and if the swollen sore on his head or forehead is reddish white, like an infectious skin disease, the man is diseased and is unclean. So it would manifest itself many times on the scalp. The priest shall pronounce him as unclean because of the sore on his head. The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkept, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, unclean, unclean. As he has the infection, he remains, as long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp. It's, I think goes without saying that the people, the lepers of biblical times were, it was a horrible, horrible existence for them. Max, I want to read to you just a few paragraphs from Max Lucado. Max, great author. If you've not read any of Max Lucado's writings, you need to read some of his stuff. He just has a way with words. I want to read to you. He kind of takes this story of the leper and he puts it into dramatic terms here. I want to read some of this from his writing. For 5 years, no one has touched me. Not one. Not one person. Not my wife. Not my child. No one has touched me. They saw me. They spoke to me, but I didn't feel their touch. There was no touch, not once. No one touched me. I was untouchable. I was a leper, and no one touched me until today. Leprosy was the most dreaded disease in these times. The body was a mass of ulcers and decay. Nerve endings died, leading to the loss of fingers, toes, or even a whole hand or foot. Leprosy was death by inches. The social consequences were as severe as the physical. Considered contagious, the leper was quarantined, banished to a leper colony. In the Bible, the leper is symbolic of the ultimate outcast. Infected by a condition he did not seek, rejected by those he knew, avoided by people he did not know, condemned to a future he could not bear. 1 year during harvest, my grip on the shovel seemed weak, the tips of my fingers numbed, first one finger, then another. Within a short time, I could grip the tool, but scarcely feel it. By the end of the season, I felt nothing at all. The hand gripping the handle might as well have belonged to someone else. The feeling was gone. One afternoon, I plunged my hand into a basin of water, intending to wash my face. The water reddened. My finger was bleeding freely. I didn't even know that I was wounded. How did I cut myself? It's on your clothes, too, my wife said softly. She was behind me, but looking at her, I looked down at the crimson spots on my robe. For the longest time, I stood over the basin, staring at my hand. I knew that my life was forever being altered. 5 years have passed, and no one has touched me since, until today. Oh, how I repulsed those who saw me. 5 years of leprosy had left my hands gnarled. Tips of my fingers were missing, as were portions of an ear and my nose. At the sight of me, fathers grabbed their children. Mothers covered their faces. Children stared. The rags on my body couldn't hide my sores, nor could the wrap on my face hide the range in my eyes. How many nights did I shake my fist at the silent sky? What did I do to deserve this, but never a reply? But then I saw him, and when I saw him, I was changed. My rage became trust. From behind a rock, I waited until he was only paces from me. Then I stepped out. He stooped and looked in my direction. Everyone stepped back except him. He stepped toward me. 5 years ago, my wife had stepped toward me. She was the last to do so. Now he did. I didn't move. I just spoke. Lord, you can heal me if you will. Had he healed me with a word, I would have been thrilled. But he wasn't satisfied with speaking to me. He drew near me. He touched me. 5 years ago, my wife touched me. No one has touched me since. Until today, I am willing. His words were as tender as his touch. Be clean. In an instant, I felt warmth where there was numbness. I felt strength where there had been atrophy. My back straightened and my head lifted. Imagine that, unworthy of the touch of a man, yet worthy of the touch of God. You know, I don't think too many of us probably are or will be struggling with leprosy, but what strikes me is there are people, our society, our city is filled with people who may be feeling just like that for different reasons. Maybe feeling like no one would have anything to do with them. No one has any use for them. I see it all the time. People feeling worthless about themselves. And I just believe that Jesus would be speaking to those folks today, speaking to us. Three things I want us to glean from this scripture this morning. And the first is this. The leper sought Jesus through brokenness. The leper sought Jesus through brokenness. You know, you hear that a lot from me. If you've listened to me much, you hear that word a lot, brokenness. In fact, last week when we talked about the father who came pleading for his daughter who was sick and dying, and how he fell at the feet of Jesus as a broken man pleading for the life of his daughter. In verse 40 today we read, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He came without presumption. If you are willing, he said, without doubting Jesus' power, he said, you can make me clean. The leper humbly begged Jesus to heal him. So he came to him not in his pride, not in his wellness, but in his brokenness. And so, you know, church, I just believe that so many times we all have different kinds of brokenness in us. And I think so many times we want to put off this air to everyone that we got our act together. And we do it all the time. How you doing? I'm fine. I mean, isn't that our normal greeting to one another? How you doing? I'm fine. And it really doesn't matter if life is falling apart. We're fine. And this leper had the courage because he understood. He had nowhere else to turn. And that's the place that we have to find ourselves. When we know we have nowhere else to turn, and we fall on our knees, we fall on our face before Jesus in our brokenness. Second thing, so the leper sought Jesus in brokenness, and the second thing, Jesus responded in compassion and power. He responded in compassion and power. And I believe I see Jesus doing that today. People fall on their face in brokenness when they have nowhere else to go, when life is falling apart and they don't have anywhere else to turn. Jesus responds in compassion and power. Listen to verse 41 and 2. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. And he said, I am willing, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Now, I just love this story because the very thing that this leper needed, probably even more than the healing, was someone to touch him. Someone to not be afraid of him. And Jesus knew that. He saw deeper than just the physical wounds that the man had. He saw deep into his soul that this man needs to be touched. Filled with compassion. Did you know that Jesus is still filled with compassion today? He's filled with compassion for us. Whatever is going on in our life, he is filled with compassion and he has the power to bless us. He has the power to meet our very deepest need. And finally, the third thing, God was glorified. He was glorified in the process. Now, notice, and I told you I'd come back to this. Notice he told the man, don't tell anybody that I've done this except the priests. Now, the reasons for that, number one, Jesus at this time, his ministry was really just getting started, and he didn't want, he wanted to kind of be able to go around and not, you know, not be just swarmed by, you know, thousands of people. And already he wanted to establish who he was over a period of time. We know his ministry was around 3 years, and this was at the very beginning of his ministry. So he didn't want the word of mouth to begin to spread so quickly. In fact, when the leper did tell people, what does it say? People started coming to him, and Jesus had to move on. But what he did command him to do, go show the priest, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. So what Jesus was saying is, go to the priest, present yourself to them so that God might receive glory. So I think about this story. And again, it's easy for us to write this story off in that, oh, well, I don't have leprosy. I don't know, I'm good. But this is about so much more than a single disease. This is about our brokenness and how in Christ's heart to meet our needs. And I see this played out over and over in people's lives. We come to Jesus in brokenness. He responds to us with compassion and power. And in the process, God is glorified. I see it happen over and over and over. But it starts with us coming in brokenness. When we stand back in pride and go, I got it together. No, I'm good. I'm good. When we have that stance, He's not going to move when we're in that stance. We have to come to Him and fall at His feet in brokenness. Does this story sound like maybe our story? I mean, I'm tying it into my life. I'm tying it into my life, into the brokenness that I've had in my life through the years. Isn't our brokenness many times the result of sin? It may be sin that we've done. It may be sin that's been done to us, around us. And this sin, this brokenness, can be contagious. It can destroy families. It can destroy relationships. You can lose jobs. Sometimes our brokenness can seem incurable. I don't know how many people I've met. It's like they've written themselves off. They've written themselves off with God. Oh, I've just done too much. I've just had too much that I've done, too many wrong things I've done over the years. God would have no use for me, feeling very much perhaps like the leper. Perhaps if we, maybe even in our mind, we may be, as we walk around in our mind, we may be saying, unclean. Unclean. But God doesn't see us as unclean. Notice that when Jesus touched the man, he still had leprosy. He didn't heal him and then touch the man. He healed the man while he was yet unclean. Our brokenness may cause great pain. And it may also, just like the leper, it may digress to a lack of pain. I've seen people that just are numb. I don't feel anything because of the things that I've gone through in my life. I don't feel anything. That way nothing can hurt me if I don't put myself out there. Our sin, our brokenness can alienate us from our family and from society. We, church, must fall on our face in brokenness. And I believe that is who God is calling us to be as His people. The message that we have, the message of the gospel that we take out to the world, is not a message that we've got our act together. That's not the message that's going to transform the world. The message that will transform the world is for us to go and say, I was lost and now I'm been found. I was broken. I was unclean and Jesus touched me. He changed things. That's the message that the world needs to hear from us, church. Not that, not rules, not all. Oh, well, you've got to do this and you've got to do that and you've got to you know do it this way and you've got to sing these kinds of songs in this kind of way and you know you've got to be good. That's what I thought for so many years, that Christianity was about being good. No, Christianity is about a man that hung on a cross for us, so that we, in our brokenness, we could be made whole. So that our uncleanness, we could be made well and we could be healed. That's the message of the gospel. That's the church. That's the message we have to carry out to a hurting world. I want to, if you would just bow your heads, I want to invite you this morning. And just if the praise team would just stay seated with me for just a minute. Helen, where you at, Helen? Would you come just play a little bit? That's okay. Just if you would just bow your heads. It just come this morning. I don't know what's going on in all of our lives, but I just believe with all my heart that some of us are feeling broken. Some of us are feeling like this leper did 2,000 years ago. I just want somebody to touch me. I just want somebody to acknowledge me, and to, I don't want everybody to shun me as if I'm unclean. I just need to be made well. I invite you, if that's you this morning, just kind of pray this prayer as I pray through this prayer. I just want this to become your prayer in your heart, if this is you. Dear Jesus, like the leper, I'm desperate for your touch. I humble myself at your feet. And I say, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You can make me whole. Yes, Lord, that's what I need, to be clean and to be whole. Only you have the words of life. And I come to you in my brokenness, desperately asking you now to heal me from the inside out. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, help me to be the person you've created me to be. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And may you be glorified in the process. May my life bring glory to your name. Strong and powerful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If the praise team would come on forward. This morning, as we close this morning, I want to invite you. The altar rail is open. It takes great courage to be broken. Anybody can act tough. Did you know that? Anybody can act tough. But it takes courage to be broken. It takes courage to be vulnerable. So the altar is open this morning. I invite you as we close to come and pray. And if you want me to pray with you, or one of our prayer team, just raise your hand and we'll come and pray with you. Also, if Jesus Christ, if you've never proclaimed Him as your Lord and Savior and would like Him to be that this morning, what a great Sunday to do that. Come and visit with me about that as well. Let's stand as we close.
Shackle my head, be burdened. Neath the load of guilt and shame, in the hand.
Billy's going to keep playing. If you're praying, just stay. You can stay at the altar. If you want, anyone else wants to come forward after the service, feel free to do that. Go and share the God of compassion, the God of the touch that makes us clean and makes us whole. Go and share it in Jesus' name. Be blessed.
Touch me.